Blog Talk Radio.
Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you.
Next case, prove the real presence of Jesus in the consecrated host. Dr. Gregory Thompson takes that case Monday nights at 9 Eastern Time on the Catholic Defender radio network. He has studied hundreds of Eucharistic miracles around the world, which prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the real presence is, in fact, real. Join the Super Sleuth Monday nights at 9 by calling 646-595-2071. That's 646-595-2071 for the Catholic Defender radio network.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender radio show. Tonight with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is Dr. Gregory Thompson, an expert on many of the Eucharistic miracles proving the real presence of Jesus in the consecrated host. Tonight, Dr. Thompson will lead an in-depth examination of one of these Eucharistic miracles. Here now is Dr. Thompson.
Oh, Greg, you there? Mike, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, Greg, are you there?
No, all of a sudden I heard nothing.
Greg, you there?
I'd be retrieving.
Mike?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Are we
cutting in and out again?
Yeah, you're kind of cutting in and out there just a little bit. But
yeah.
Greg is...
I can't do much about that. I have a very funny feeling it's where I am.
It could be. It could very well be. Because so ordinarily you don't have...
No, normally I'm coming in clear as bell. But I think it's when I was switched from one room to the next. The one I was switched to was a cell phone dead spot.
Yeah, you're breaking in just a little bit there. Try your other room there. Try another room and see how you do there.
I can't do that. For two very good reasons. Number one, these are assigned. And number two, you don't have. I just can't pick this equipment up and locate it someplace else in 5 seconds.
Well, you're breaking in. That's as long as you got your phone. I was just saying, see if you could find some spot there that you might have a better reception. That's all I'm trying
to
see.
I've tried that, and I have very few choices because it's a very very short tether, and I don't have the capability of putting a longer one in there.
Well, you're breaking in, and so Greg, are you there? Gregory, are you there? He was here earlier, just a moment ago. Greg, are you there? He may have stepped away from his system. I don't know. But I'll go ahead and, you know, today, welcome to Deeper Truth. Blessed Alexandrina Maria da Costa, her story. She was from Portugal in 1904, 1955. And here's a piece of scripture right here. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. And that's coming from the Lord's Prayer. And the story of Blessed Alexandrina Maria da Costa is quite miraculous. Taking this text from the Our Father prayer to a deeper understanding. Blessed Alexandrina Maria da Costa was nourished only by the Eucharist for over 13 years. I think that's very interesting. She lived on the Eucharist for 13 years only. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. As Catholics, we believe that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And the consecrated host is what Blessed Alexandrina Maria da Costa lived on. Over her tomb are the words she wished to be placed there. Sinners, if the ashes of my body can be useful for your salvation, draw near to them, pass above them, and trample on them until they vanish. But sin no more. Do not offend our Lord Jesus any longer. And I heard, Greg, are you there?
I'm here, yes.
Yeah, I was calling, and I thought maybe I lost you.
I didn't have any call or anything. Did you try to call me?
Really? Yeah. In fact, you're in the system right now. You're in the switchboard.
Well, I hear you now.
Well, you know how technology can be sometimes. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then our story then, Alexandrina Maria da Costa, she was from Portugal, 1904 through 1955. Do you kind of remember her story at all, Greg?
Well, just that she lived specifically on the Eucharist, didn't she?
For 13 years. And so, at age 21, she was paralyzed from a dramatic incident in which she fled from the threat of violence. These three men tried to molest her, and she jumps out a window. And so she did not permit herself to be overcome by sadness and by loneliness, but thought, this is what she thought, Jesus, you are a prisoner in the tabernacle, and I am here on my bed, so that that we can keep company. You see what she's saying there, Greg? Greg, are you there? Oh, looks like I lost Greg. Let me try to call him one more time, because everybody's having trouble tonight. Somehow. I lost him. And so we're trying one more time. Well? His phone, no telling what it could be. So I will just continue, and maybe he'll call me back in. We'll see. Following the physical sufferings from the paralysis, mystical sufferings were added. For 4 years, every Friday, she saw the sorrows of the Passion. And after this period, for another 13 years, until her death, she was nourished only by the Eucharist. Her life became a continuous prayer for the conversion of sinners. Alexandria Maria was born in Bolasar, Portugal, on March 30th, 1904. At age 14, in order to escape an attack by three men and to maintain her purity, she jumped from the window, but did not escape without suffering injury. The consequences were terrible, if not immediate. In fact, several years later, she became bedridden from a progressively increasing paralysis, from which she suffered for the remaining 30 years of her life. Yet she did not despair, but entrusted herself to Jesus with these words: "As you are a prisoner in the tabernacle, and I am a prisoner on my bed for doing your will, so we can keep ourselves company." As a result, she began to live through even more powerful mystical experiences, and from Friday, October 3, 1938, until March 24, 1942, for up to 182 times, she relived the sufferings of the Passion. Blessed Alexandria said of her condition, "Our Lady has given me an even greater grace than a cure. First abandonment, then complete conformity to God's will. Finally, the thirst for suffering." Beginning in 1942, until her death, Alexandrina was fed only by the Eucharist, and during a period of convalescence at the Foscal de Rio Hospital near Oporto for 40 days and 40 nights, she was under supervision by several doctors in her absolute fast and her condition of anuria, absence of urine. After 10 long years of paralysis, which she had offered as Eucharistic reparation for the conversion of sinners, on July 30th, 1935, Jesus appeared to her saying, "I have put you in the world so that you may draw a wife only from me, to bear witness to the world how precious the Eucharist is." On Good Friday, March 27th, 1942, a new phase began for Alexandrina. She received no nourishment of any kind except the Holy Eucharist. This extraordinary miracle continued for 13 years and 7 months until her death. Concerning her living on the Eucharist alone, Jesus taught her in an ecstasy, "You will not take food again on earth. Your food will be my flesh. Your blood will be my divine blood. Your life will be my life. You receive it from me when I unite my heart to your heart. Do not fear, my daughter." The strongest chain that keeps souls in bondage with Satan is the flesh and the sins of impurity. Never has there been such a spread of vices, wickedness, and crimes as there is today. Never has there been so much sin. The Eucharist, my body and blood. Behold, the Eucharist is the salvation of the world, Jesus said. Mary also appeared to her on September 12, 1949, with the rosary in her hand, saying to her, "The world is in agony and is dying in sin. My desire is for prayer. My desire is for penance. I have protected with this my rosary all those whom I love and the whole world." On October 13, 1955, the anniversary of the last apparition of the Blessed Mother at Fatima, Alexandrina was heard exclaiming, "I am happy, for I am on my way to heaven." She died at 7:30 in the evening on that very day. Blessed Alexandrina had visions of Jesus. One night, Jesus appeared to her in nocturnal dimensions, as if he had just been taken down from the cross. I could see deep, open wounds in his hands, his feet, and his side. The blood streamed from these wounds and from the breast. It came with such force that after having drenched the garment around his waist, it flooded onto the floor. Jesus drew near to the edge of my bed. With his great love, I was able to kiss the wounds in his hands, and I longed to kiss those on his feet. But due to my paralysis, I was unable to do so. Though I said nothing of this desire to Jesus, he knew what was in my mind, and with his hands, he held up one foot and then the other, and I offered them to me to kiss. Enraptured, I contemplated the wound in his side and the wound that was gushing from it until, filled with compassion, I threw myself into his arms and cried out, "Oh my Jesus, how much you have suffered for me." I remained in his arms for some moments, and he finally disappeared. My daughter, suffering is the key to heaven. I have endured so much to open heaven to all mankind, but for many it was in vain. They say, "I want to enjoy life. I have come into the world only for enjoyment." They say, "Hell does not exist. I have died for them." And they say, "They did not ask me to do so. They have formed heresies against me." In order to save them, I select certain souls and lay the cross on their shoulders. Happy the soul who understands the value of suffering. My cross is sweet if carried for love of me. I chose you from your mother's womb. I watch over you in your great difficulties. It was I who chose them for you, that I might have a victim to offer me much reparation. Lean on my heart, my sacred heart, and find therein strength to suffer everything. And she also was taunted by the enemy. That is, Adriana was taunted by the enemy. One moonlight night, after prayers, I felt the need to sleep. Then suddenly into my room came a great darkness. I perceived a black shadow and saw it jump towards me. And it said to me, "I come on behalf of your Christ, to carry you to hell, bed and all. I kissed the crucifix, and the voice continued, you kissed that wicked thing. He then ordered me to do things that I cannot speak of. It was only when I took holy water that I was left in peace. And here's prayers of Saint Alexandrina. My good Jesus, you are a prisoner, and I am a prisoner. We are both prisoners. You are a prisoner for my welfare and happiness, and I am a prisoner of your hands. You are King and Lord of all, and I am a worm of the earth. I have abandoned you, thinking only of this world, which is the destruction of souls. But now, repenting with all my heart, I desire only that which you desire, and to suffer with resignation. O my Jesus, I adore you. Everywhere you dwellest in the Blessed Sacrament, where you are despised, I stand by thee. I love you for those who do not love. I make amends for those who offend you. Come into my heart. That's a prayer from Blessed Alexandrina. O Jesus, who art pleased with simple and humble persons, so often ignored, forgotten, and despised by men, raise to the glory of thy altars thy humble servant, Alexandrina, who always desired to live hidden from the world and aloof from its vanities and praises. You will know, Lord Jesus, how in our times there is need of lessons of holiness, which is the true fulfillment of every human and Christian vocation, and consequently the elevation of a creature to the supreme height of moral beauty. Invest then, O Jesus, your servant, with the immortal halo of glory, and hear our prayers, which we, through her intercession, offer to you. Especially grant us the favor which we ask for the conversion of sinners. We pray for our priests, and we pray for children. We pray for the prodigals. We pray for those who are in prison and their families. We pray for the elderly. We pray for those in most need of your mercy, those who are addicted by or held bound by addictions. We pray for Pope Francis. We pray for the clergy all throughout the world. Pray for all those in mortal sin. We pray for those who are contemplating abortion and suicide. We pray for them. We pray for their liberation. If it be for the honor of your blessed name, the glory of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and the salvation of sinners, on whose behalf the pious Alexandrina so holy and generously offered herself a victim. Amen. And so, we believe that Jesus is truly present, body, blood, soul, divinity, in the Eucharist. And Jesus said, unless you eat the flesh of my flesh and drink the blood of my blood, you know you have no life in you. So we pray for unity. We pray for people to wake up, that people will come to the altar of God and come to receive Jesus. He invites us to go to confession. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Mother Mary. We love you, Saint Joseph. And Mike, I think I still got you. We lost Gregory. I'm not, maybe his phone went out. Mike, are you still here?
I'm still here. You're hearing me up there.
Yeah. Yeah, you're still breaking up, but try to offer something from what I shared, if you can.
Well, what's so interesting about this is you wonder, he came upon a Roman centurion whose son was very sick, and Jesus said, "I will come and cure him." And the centurion says, "No, no, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof." That's where that clip from the mask comes in.
Yes.
He would say the word, and Jesus remarked that he had not seen so much faith in Israel as from this Roman centurion.
Well, because he didn't have to have Jesus come to his house.
No. Jesus could heal from a distance.
Exactly. And so today...
And the centurion knew that.
Yes. And Alexandrina Marie da Costa, well, today, she's with Jesus in the heavenly kingdom.
Well, you can also let me throw in a question out there, see what people think. When... Alexandrina had to jump out of a window, probably a second-story window, to escape some men who had evil designs on her. Why did Jesus not heal her of those injuries?
Well, Jesus
answers
that.
Why did he choose to go the route that he did?
He did that to help those who need to be strengthened in their faith in Jesus in the Eucharist. And so this was what Jesus, he chose this. And plus, suffering for her was what liberated her. I love what she said. She recognized Jesus as a prisoner in the tabernacle. And so she saw herself as a prisoner in her bed and that the two could spend time together. That was her mindset. She had a simple mind for that. And Jesus allowed this, Mike, for you and me, that our faith can be strengthened in the Eucharist and everybody who's listening tonight.
You know what is so fascinating is that that she subsisted, she ate, she lived on the Eucharist for more than 13 years. Now, if that had happened sometime today, in today's culture, her parents would have been arrested and charged with child endangerment.
Well, she was observed by doctors. Doctors witnessed.
That's right, she was.
And so, she had priests that was maintaining an eye on her. I would say that the world was.
Well, she died in 1955. And the thinking back then was very different from what it is today.
Well, if you think about it...
If she had subsisted on the Eucharist today, her parents or doctors and others observing her would tell her, "You're nuts. You're crazy." And they'd probably lock her up in a sanitarium somewhere, or at least try to. But back in the 1950s, it wasn't that way.
Well,
the church had a great deal of influence, and... No,
think about this.
Influence.
She was not that far from Padre Pio.
She was what?
Not that far from Padre Pio. Well, he was in Italy, of course.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But with Padre Pio, he was all over the world, even though he never left his cell.
I think, if I remember correctly, we saw in school she saw films, a movie made about Project Theo. And he's receiving of the stigmata.
Well, I don't see anything that shows that Padre Pio ever visited her. I don't see anything like that.
No.
But I wouldn't be surprised if he did.
Like you said, the two of them are separated by a very great distance.
No. And I'm sure she was familiar with Padre Pio, St. Padre Pio.
Oh, I'm sure,
and
I'm
so,
sure she was.
And now they're together today. They're both up there with Jesus now.
Oh, absolutely.
And their story, both of them, are to encourage us with suffering. And so when we suffer, to lift it up. As Judy used to say. You remember Judy used to say that?
Oh, yeah. I miss Judy.
And, yeah. Well, she's up there with Blessed Alexandrina Maria da Costa and St. Padre Pio. You'd have to believe that, you know.
She's probably in the front of writing poems.
No telling. No telling.
Yeah.
And so, well, but this is a great example of a miracle. And my friend, I'm glad you hung in there, but I don't know what's, I mean, you know, I don't know if you could find you another, you don't sound too bad right at the moment, or you hadn't, you were, I could hear you there. So, thank goodness there.
Yeah. But there's very little I can do over the conditions of this room.
Yeah.
Maybe when I get an apartment, I'm going to get a more permanent internet connection, and hopefully that will solve a lot of problems.
It's interesting that Blessed Alexandrina da Costa is also seen as the suffering soul of Fatima. So she was very close to where Fatima was. Fatima was
wasn't
in Portugal.
Didn't she? She either died or something happened.
No, she was
one of the anniversaries of Mary's last appearance at Fatima.
Well, it's it does give some dates here. Let's see. 1904.
Oh, here it is. On October 13th, 1955, the anniversary of the last apparition of the Blessed Mother at Fatima, Alexandrina was heard exclaiming, "I am happy, for I am on my way to heaven." She died at 7:30 in the evening on that very day.
So it's like Our Lady, after she left Fatima, it's like she just went by there and grabbed her and picked her up.
Went by there and picked her up.
It's what it sounds. It's what it's look like. It's what it's like, isn't it?
She probably said, "Don't worry, I'm on my way to. I'll pick you up. I'll pick you up in 10 minutes."
Wow. Wow, that's.
It's something to ride into heaven with a Blessed Mother.
Yeah.
That's a way. There's a way to go.
Yeah. Wow. That's her story. And the devil appeared to her too.
That Beelzebubian buffoon gets around, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, but when Our Lady comes around, he splits. He runs.
Big time.
And so, Our Lady.
Mary's only had to tell him once to take a hike.
Yeah, on October 13th, 1955, the anniversary of the last apparition of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So, yeah, it wasn't 1917, but 1955. Well, she went there and grabbed her, got her.
Oh, yeah.
And it's interesting that Alexandrina, she just exclaimed, "I am happy, for I'm on my way to heaven."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she died at 7:30 in the very evening of that day. Wow. Yeah. And so we ask for her prayer for us. And so, and you know, I mean, yes, she could have been married, and she could have lived as a wife, a Catholic wife and family. She could have, but she had a higher calling. I would have to say that, that our Lord gave her a higher calling. Like you asked, the Lord could have healed her, and she could have lived a normal life following that. But she made the decision also. She chose. She recognized. And so, she kissed the wounds of Jesus, his hands and his feet and his side. You know, that's her. She loved Jesus. That's who she was. Jesus was by far and away her best friend, as he should be our best friend too.
Oh, absolutely.
Jesus, and so when I look at her, you know, these three guys, I don't know if she knew them beforehand or
Is there any tradition or any kind of report? Just summarizing what happened to those three guys, if they stayed on the evil path or if they were converted.
I don't know. I would like to think that they were converted.
That would be interesting to look into that.
I'll see if there's anything.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. I know that Blessed Alexandrina, she would have prayed for them and interceded for them.
Oh, absolutely.
And forgive them.
About that. No question that she would have prayed for them.
That would be an interesting...
It would be interesting to find that out.
Yeah, really. I mean, the Eucharist. And she says, do not offend Jesus anymore. And that's why Deeper Truth here, we encourage people to go to confession.
Mm-hmm.
We encourage them to go to confession. Because that could be life-saving. Priests will raise people from the dead. Because there's a lot of walking dead out there. But I will try to do a little research to see what I can find. If there's anything, I don't know. But it would be something to see.
There have been cases where people would mock the church, and there would be all kinds of ill will, and they turn around and make a conversion. Well, probably near at the top of the list is a fellow named Saul of Tarsus.
Well,
remember him?
But Saul of Tarsus didn't try to rape somebody and do evil like that. He thought what he was doing was right.
That's right.
I mean, what he was doing was his attacking Christians. He didn't really, he didn't know who Jesus was.
He was dealing,
but
he thought he was dealing with an illegal religion.
These three individuals who attempted to do this with Blessed Alexandrina, well, as far as I'm concerned, they were degenerates.
Yeah.
You can't say St. Paul was, you can't say he was a degenerate. He was just mistaken. In fact, he fought, St. Paul fought for, he defended wholesomeness and married life.
Yeah, he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament.
Yeah, he did. You know, 1,500 people arrived to catch a glimpse of Alexandria, and the police had to be brought in to control the crowd. And the observation was concluded that, and said, in October, I will come to visit you at Belisar, not as a doctor spy, but as a friend who respects you. And so, I don't know. It doesn't say anything about those three.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the Eucharistic miracles that we share, sometimes when an individual was the cause of that miracle, sometimes we do get the scene that they repented. You would think that they would.
You would think that. You know, they have the evidence right before their eyes.
You know, the one that attempted to rape Saint Maria Goretti and actually killed her, and it took him 30 years beforehand, but eventually
he would convert,
and he would convert eventually when he, after seeing a vision of Saint Maria, who appeared to him in his prison cell.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw the wounds, like rays of grace, that was pouring into him. And when he was released from prison after that, he went to the home of St. Maria Grady, to her mother, and begged her for forgiveness. I mean, you know, and when Pope Pius XII canonized St. Maria Grady, 150,000 people was in Vatican City to celebrate the life.
Wasn't he there too?
Yes, he was, on his knees in tears of joy. He was a Capuchin monk at the time, by that time. So we can only hope that those three would have converted. Repented and converted, but I don't see nothing of that. But if I do, I'll bring it. I'll present it.
And you got the repentant thief.
Yeah.
Somebody, Bishop Keen, said something like something to this effect, that he asked to die like a thief and steal paradise.
Like John Wayne did. John Wayne did that sort of. You could say he did. He died on his death. He was baptized on his deathbed. And you could say he received his that experience. Oh. God is good.
Mm-hmm. We get quite a series of these Eucharistic miracles.
Yeah, and that's the miracle with the miracle. The Eucharistic miracle itself is a miracle, but a conversion is a miracle too.
Yeah.
And if those three did convert, that would be miraculous as well.
Absolutely. it's very interesting to find to try to find out what happened to those three.
I will try, but there's nothing that I have seen here.
Mm-hmm.
But I will continue to look into it. No telling. So
yeah. You don't have their names either.
No, I don't have no name. It just said three individuals. That's all it said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be hard to track down.
Well, you would think that people close by would have been able to have tracked it down, but she had to tell people about it, why she jumped out the window, and while she was recovering, you know, she had to tell the story about what happened.
Yeah.
Who knows?
People living in, well, it was 1955 when she died, so people living were born before that.
But the 1950s.
Would still be alive.
Yeah, they would have been still alive, but most likely, no telling. But I tell you, thank you so much, Mike. I don't know what happened to Greg. Something happened to his phone or something, because he doesn't just...
His phone probably went dead or something happened.
Something. So I'll call, and Greg should be back with us next week. So...
Yeah.
So now we'll just go ahead and do, I kind of miss Kathy too. So I got her, doing the, Latin.
Well, I've got two.
Yeah, but I got it in where we can hear it pretty clear.
Oh, I know one thing I didn't do.
What's that?
I didn't ask you to identify yourself.
My name is Duke. How do you do?
You knew I was going to pull that on you at some point.
Well, Johnny Cash, we use him a lot in our shows. The man in black when we pray for a priest. And children when we pray for children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Greg might be back.
Okay.
Greg, you back? Greg, you there? He might have called back in. Greg, you there? Wow. Because I started the shows here, and that he dropped. And then as I was looking for Katie's prayer in Latin, I see where, hey, looks like Greg called back in.
Yeah, probably look at the switchboard.
Well, that's what I'm looking at now. But, Greg, you there? Well, you might have been just listening to us because he was definitely in.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and play Kathy and see what happens. Well, God bless you, Mike. And God bless you too, Greg.
Nomine Patri Filii Sanctificat. Pater Noster qui es in caelis, sanctificetur nomen tuum. Adveniat regnum tuum. Fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cedo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debite nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris. And ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos da malo. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tua Mariaibus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen. Gloria Patri Filio Spiritui Sancto, sicut in erat et in principio et nunc et semper saecula saeculorum. Amen. Nomine Patri Filii Spiritui Sancti. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, Greg,
amen.
If you're there, Greg, I'd like to get a last word from you if you're there. But, I mean, he may be away from his phone or you know, no telling. He may be trying to get his phone charged up or something. So, well, Mike, thank you so much. And we'll see you all next week.
You betcha.
And Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is truly present in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, divinity. So go to Mass and pray the Rosary.
Oh, Blessed Mother, we pray to Thee. Thanks for the miracle of Your Rosary. Only You can hold back Your Holy Son's hand long enough for the whole world to understand. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Now and at the hour of our death, and thanks once again for the miracle of Your Rosary.
And that's Elvis Presley. I'm not sure who that was. Greg, are you there? Okay. All right. God bless you, Greg. And we'll do this again next Monday night. And, Mike, thank you so much.
You bet.
Okay. Well, we'll do it again next. Well, tomorrow's feast day, St. Januarius. So I'm looking forward to that tomorrow.
Oh yeah.
And my
check your inbox.
Yes, and my son Jason will be here tomorrow night. Tomorrow night from England, and I'm so excited about having Jason here for a few days. You know, so that's good. I'm so proud of him. And God bless you there, Mike. God bless you, Greg, and God bless you all out there in deeper truth land. Thank you.
Thank you, and good night.
Good night.